Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian, and I'm joined by the leader of the House of Tarjanian.
That's right. The entertainment era, Mr. Entertainment.
Mr. Entertainment, Harry Tarjanian.
Thank you, the owner of Capital Wrestling.
It should be Harry Targaryen.
Targaryen? Well, after the game. That's done now. I'm not going to go with trends and be stuck with, treat it like a tattoo that I get stuck with.
Yeah.
Rest of my life.
I think you should change it. I think you should change it to Targaryen.
Well, maybe. I mean, now's the time.
Now is the time.
I don't correct anyone on how they pronounce it, just as long as they give it an attempt. That's all that matters.
What's the worst?
The worst one was I was doing stand-up, and Lynn Coplitz, who I know, but, you know, I don't think she was hosting for some reason, and I gave her my name, and people sometimes mess it up, you know, and then she blanked. Completely
totally blank.
Forgot it, and she's just went Harry Yamamoto, like just threw one out, like
Harry Yamamoto. I like
that
too. She
just threw it out there. She goes, "I'm so sorry. I just panicked and threw a bunch of letters out before I went on stage."
You know what? That's a good name too, Harry Yamamoto.
Harry Yamamoto.
Yeah.
When Capital Wrestling goes to Japan,
that's what you'll do.
That's what we'll do.
Harry's here, obviously, to talk about all things professional wrestling, but also to talk about the first ever Brooklyn tapings for Capital Wrestling TV this Monday Brooklyn at St. Patrick's.
Yeah, it's St. Patrick's, June 24th. It's 8 p.m. bell time this Monday. It's going to be a TV taping. We've got a lot of great wrestlers. That's 951 4th Avenue in Brooklyn Bay Ridge.
What time are you guys running till?
I mean, 8 o'clock. I mean, usually we try to keep it tight, so probably 2.5 hours.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we don't try to go too long. I think, you know, people get worn out if you go too long. But you can check out all the Capital media, Capital Wrestling social media for all the info on it.
Also, we'll have it in the show notes here.
Yeah.
For people, we haven't done a show since the announcement I made on Monday.
That's right.
And that's that I have been named the CMO, the Chief Marketing Officer for Capital Wrestling.
Yeah, which we're very excited about.
So from now on, Matt Men will be 24/7 Capital Wrestling.
Nice. All Capital Wrestling, guys.
I had a guy write that to me. He's like, oh, I guess now we're going to just hear about Capital Wrestling all the time. I'm like, guys, I've been working with them for like two years.
Yeah.
I do the same thing every time. There's a taping. Harry comes on.
Right.
We do a show. We talk about it for like three minutes.
We talk about other stuff.
Yeah.
People are very antsy. People are very antsy about what it's there. A lot of time, a lot of overthinking. They're worried about what happens to their thing. What happens if our beloved show, it's not going to be all Capital Wrestling. It's still going to be barely. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, it's never enough. I have a vested interest in it.
So do I now.
So while you guys are going on and on about this AEW thing, I'm like, what's that about?
Yeah.
More Capital.
More Capital. That's what we need.
Yeah, so what? John Moxley who? Capital Wrestling.
That's what
the people want. And by the people, I mean me.
So we before we go on to everything happening in wrestling, I got a great message from somebody. We announced that Kevin Nash and Scott Hall will be at our Nashville show.
The Nashville show that we're doing.
In August 11th.
Yes.
And I got a DM from somebody.
Okay.
And they wrote, I can't believe you're making the same mistake that every promoter makes. Oh, my God. You're an idiot. You're this. I'm like, dude, they're doing an autograph sign.
Yeah, they're doing autographs. We're not bringing them in.
I'm like, they're not wrestling.
They're coming
in to do autographs, meet and greet, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's like a big show. There's a purpose for the show.
We're working with different projects. This particular show in Nashville is going to be really interesting because it's about, you know, like things like the Innocence Project, if you're familiar with them. And next time I come to promote that, I have to bring Stephanie Satilli,
who works
with us, because she's involved with that more. But it's being put together by a guy named Anthony DiPippo, who is a friend of ours and who was wrongfully convicted. So this show is to bring
very wrongfully convicted.
Yes. Which there all are. I mean, I don't know if there's levels court wise.
I think there might be levels, right? Like,
well, you know, the toughest ones are when there's DNA evidence and then they still won't, you know.
Yeah.
But there's a lot going on with that. So that's one of those projects that we're working on. Wrestling for Innocence is going to be the whole thing. And I'll get into more detail as that show rolls around.
Yeah.
And I also definitely want to have Stephanie Satilli because she is more knowledgeable. I don't want to butcher it.
For that show.
That would be incredible.
I think I'm going to be in Nashville for that.
But August 11th, we will be in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. It's at a beautiful venue.
Yeah.
The music the venue's name?
I forgot the name of the venue as
Music
well.
Music something.
I'm supposed to know all this stuff, and that's the thing. Okay. Why
listen,
I'm the worst.
I'm the marketing guy.
Right.
Well, I should know it as well.
Yeah, but you just started as the marketing guy. I've like owned now. The company for quite a while now.
Yeah.
Or been one of the owners, rather.
So, Harry's here. We're going to talk about everything happening in
full
wrestling.
Full capital wrestling for the entire hour,
that's
as Larry
it.
King would say. For the hour.
Have you... I want to. I haven't had you on since AEW show happened
yes.
and all that stuff. What did you take of the show?
I loved it. I love the show. I'm trying to watch it with a little bit of a like an understanding of what in the moment of what it means. So the first half of the show, they were really good matches, you know. And but I do kind of think like there's definitely a level of excitement because this is something new, right? And people definitely get very excited, and eventually that excitement wears off, and you find a nice middle ground. But the storytelling they did with the last three matches I thought was incredible. I loved it. I love what they did. It gave me an excitement. It reminded me of WCW. And when I say that in the positive way, when it was on fire and it was just something different. There was
yeah.
an energy there to it. I'm just happy that it exists to begin with, you know, and I thought it was great. And I think the potential is fantastic. I'm hoping that they can do everything right. I loved it.
Let me just explain my idea here. So 2 days ago was the anniversary of the first TNA show.
Yes.
Ever.
Yes, that was about 17 years ago.
17 years yeah. ago. And I watched that entire show. Just to like kind of like remember at the moment. I remember the excitement of TNA. Like,
yeah.
A lot of people don't remember how exciting it was at the time in 2002 when this product launched because
sure.
it was not as accessible. I think this generation of wrestling fans are too young to remember it.
It
was on pay-per-view. It was those penny pay-per-views and those
it was a weird
weekly
thing.
Pay-per-views.
They were recording TV, but they were only airing on pay-per-view. So it was
yeah.
like a weekly show, and it was a much smaller
price, but it was live.
But
it
was
live,
yeah.
Yeah, they were doing a live show on pay-per-view every week, and it was very inexpensive.
Yeah.
Remember they did those penny pay-per-views at one point?
What were the penny pay-per-views?
It was like literally like a cent to order it.
Oh, okay.
It was like just to order it, and you could watch it that way.
Oh, okay.
They couldn't get clearance anywhere at the time. A lot of people remember TNA on Spike.
Yeah, no,
Beyond.
There was a weird time frame that they started doing, which... The initial start of it was to go straight to pay-per-view.
But the excitement of it launching was something else. They did the first show in Huntsville, Alabama.
Weird choice. But...
At like a, you know, I think because that was, they were really going for that core.
Okay, yeah.
Southern
I mean, it was
wrestling.
The NWA.
It was the NWA.
Also, that was the other thing people forget was that it was... The sort of rebirth of the NWA
yeah.
as well. I mean, they brought the 10 pounds of gold back, the whole thing, and Jeff Jarrett being involved. So I could see why there was some super excitement about that.
Do you remember that show, the first one?
I never watched it, you know, the first one, to be honest with
you.
The
first one was so... It really was WCW if they hit the reset button.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of the same people, right?
Ed Ferrara with dreads.
Yeah, that was a weird...
I never got that. Russo was not there on TV, but at this point. He came like a couple of weeks after.
But was he behind the scenes?
I don't remember if he was there at the initial conception of the product.
Right.
But you had Jerry Jarrett and Jeff Jarrett that started it.
Yeah.
You had, like all these like... Memphis wrestling guys. The opening segment was like the greatest
NWA
champions that they could get. So like it was Harley Race, Ricky Steamboat,
yeah,
the Fabulous One, Jackie Fargo,
yeah.
You just had like guys like that come out. Bullet Bob Armstrong,
okay,
and they announced that they're going to have a gauntlet. A battle royal.
All right,
a gauntlet battle royal. They called it.
It was Royal Rumble, basically.
A Royal Rumble. So you're going to have that to crown the first champion. Out comes Jeff Jarrett and calls them idiots and says this idea sucks. It's really stupid. Then Ken Shamrock comes out.
Okay.
And he's like, I agree with you, Jeff. This idea sucks to crown the first champion, but I'm going to win it. And here comes Scott Hall from the crowd And he goes, yeah, you guys are right. This idea does suck. And I was like, what? I'm like, why are you burying the main event?
By burying the idea. I understand almost as if you say this idea sucks, I should be the champion. That works as a heel.
As a heel. But everybody agrees that this idea sucks.
Right. As a pope, but when Ken Shamrock, the face, comes out. Yeah, and he's like, I also agree, even though you're a jerk and I don't like you, but the one thing we can both agree on that we can unite behind is that this idea sucks.
So then they had the opening match, by the way.
Yeah.
The opening match of this show, by the way, this was June 19, 2002. You have to remember where we're at in wrestling at this point.
Yeah. No WCW.
The NWO debuted in WWE in late March, mid-March in WWE in 2002.
Okay.
You had WrestleMania where you had Hogan and Rock.
So
Hall got fired after the plane ride from hell.
Okay. He got fired and that's why he's able to appear
That's why he's able to appear. So the first match is the Flying Elvises,
all right,
which was Jorge Estrada, Sonny Siaki, and Jimmy Wang. And then he was a cowboy.
Which was not a bad gimmick. I did enjoy the Asian redneck.
I did too. I did like but he is.
No, it's funny, but I just had never seen. All right, anyway. So that's how you open.
Versus AJ Styles, Jerry Lynn, and Loki. This match was ridiculously good.
Okay.
AJ Styles took the pin and lost.
That's so funny.
And they lost to the Flying Elvises. Then you had Tio versus Hollywood. I don't know who these guys are. I forgot this whole thing.
Tio versus Hollywood.
And then the Johnsons. Remember the Johnsons?
Yeah, I only remember the Johnsons because I've seen memes.
Richard Johnson and Rod Johnson.
Okay.
Defeated Psychosis and James Storm. What a pairing.
That's a random pairing, for sure.
Yeah. And then you had a women's segment.
Okay.
Where
Before they were the knockouts.
And it was just whoever they could grab. And Francine and Elektra from ECW. And they cut the most obnoxious New York accent promo on each other. They're like, yous don't know.
I kind of dig that, though. Huntsville, Alabama.
So look at the people in the match for the title. Okay, you had Ken Shamrock, Malice. I don't remember Malice.
Sounds familiar.
Brian Christopher.
Okay.
Bruce, which is Alan Funk.
I don't know who that is.
Buff Bagwell.
Okay.
Chris Harris, Del Rios, which
Del Rios.
Del Rios. It was Harvey Del Rios. Del Rios was Phantasmo in the WWE.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right.
Okay. Devin Storm, Gran Apollo, Jeff Jarrett, Justice, K Crush, which Justice is Chris Parks.
Abyss, yeah.
Yeah. Lash LaRue, Conan, Norman Smiley, Rick Steiner, Scott Steiner, Slash. No, I'm sorry. Scott Steiner was not in this. This is absolutely wrong.
He wasn't in that?
He wasn't. There was a guy that looked like Scott Steiner that was in it.
Okay.
Slash, Steve Corino, Gangrel, and that was it. And Ken Shamrock won.
And then they crowned it that night?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I don't know about that call. I guess you can, whatever. I mean, it makes sense, but now you're...
Who was that big, juiced-up guy that looked like Scott... That looked just like Scott Steiner. Who would know this?
I don't know.
There was a guy that literally did the Scott Steiner gimmick. He had like the blonde hair. I think it might have been Del Rios.
Okay, maybe it was one of those guys. Okay.
Yo, I gotta.
It's shoot. That lineup does sound quintessentially TNA.
TNA.
So from the very beginning, that line. I mean, they had a lot of young talent on that. That show, but yeah, that I don't know. It was such a weird period. I mean, they, you know, just started out the way they were starting it out.
It really was a bizarre moment. But to my point, the excitement was so big at that time. And I remember a lot of my friends are like, oh my God, this is going to be the big thing. This is going to be huge. this is going to be tremendous.
Yeah.
They're going to give Vince a run for their money. Right. It's the
finally
same,
a company.
Finally a competition after WCW.
I think people always want that narrative to exist. Like, no matter what it is, people want that to happen. So even like, oh, New Japan with this Bullet Club thing. Oh, they're coming after Vince, you know. Like, that's going to be the thing. Yeah, and it's just like AAA now. They're trying to come into America. That's going to be, and it's, I think people want that desperately. And I'm aware of that there's always this excitement. I do think AEW comes in the best position that anyone's come in so far as a startup.
I think they're coming in a better position than WCW did.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think, I think it's not fair to compare this to any other group because I can't remember a company coming in with this much funding. And
it didn't exist. Even Turner didn't do it that way. Turner was like a gradual.
Yeah, it was a gradual build.
It was a gradual build.
They had time to build their product. But now you have...
This is from scratch. Within a year, when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Has it been a year since they announced the launch? Since they...
September would have been All In.
But that wasn't an AEW
production.
That wasn't
AEW.
So then the answer is no.
January?
Yeah. So, I mean... That's when you think about that, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like from the initial announcement to actually startup time, it's going to be less than a year and they're coming in pretty strong. And the other thing I like is that they keep saying we're not trying to compete with the WWE. Now, unfortunately, that's not the case from the other end,
yeah.
From the WWE's end. So I just like the excitement of the potential of it. And I also liked what they did. Like, it wasn't just in-ring matches. The stories they built up, at least for those three main events, was really good. I actually liked Double or Nothing better than I liked All In.
I really enjoyed
All In because everything had a story, even the gimmick. There were some mistakes and stuff that were made.
They'll learn, though.
They'll learn from it. But they come in with something like they care about things, the consistency that I don't know is the same with the WWE. It's going to be interesting, but I do know that already we all know, I'm not breaking news here, that it's already increasing like salary rates for people who...
Yeah, listen, it's better, and this is great for the business, for the wrestlers.
I want them all to succeed. Impact.
I hate picking sides. I don't understand that, where people are like WWE rules or AEW rules, WWE sucks. If you don't like WWE now, you've had an option other places to go. If you're a pure wrestling fan, you could watch wrestling.
Sure.
You could get into other wrestling products.
It's just not as easy. That's what people want.
They just want
the ease. Because listen, I'll be honest with you. It's on my TV. I set it to DVR every week. Some weeks I watch, some weeks I don't. With WWE.
And that's hard, right? Because you've fallen out of this cycle.
I'll tell you what I do. It's not like I'm not done with it, but I will say this. When I miss, like if I'm out like performing or something that night and I don't have time and it's like Wednesday, I'm like, I haven't watched Raw yet. I would usually go watch the Hulu cut. I stopped doing that too. So if I miss it, I miss it because I've just not enjoyed the last couple months of what they've done since WrestleMania.
Why do you think that is? What do you think has happened?
For me, from my personal standpoint, I think it all stems from the guy at the top who makes those decisions, but it feels very repetitive in the sense of like, okay, I know at some point we're going to have a tag match that involves somebody with the main event teaming with another guy from the main event. You know, it's sort of the same players that they keep using, even though they have this deep roster and you don't feel like there's a lot of creative stories. Like, I'm just not invested in Bobby Lashley for some reason. Also things like, you care, like the wild card rule to me, I hate it. I don't know how many people are digging it or what, but it drives me nuts because it messes with the continuity of what's going on, especially the brand split.
Yeah.
And then
I think the a lot of that has to do with USA. Like Fox,
they both want stars.
I know for a fact Fox does not care for a brand split.
Sure.
They don't. I know that WWE's selling point is that you get exclusivity on this brand and the wrestlers on that brand, but...
Yeah, I mean, if you're Fox, you want
everybody.
All the stars.
So of course, you want Brock Lesnar.
I get that. Then just do away with the brand split. But let's not do the thing where we pretend that there's a brand split and the story... It just becomes really hard to keep track of it for me anyway. And also, like, if you're going to readjust... You know, there's just a lot of people to me being wasted and not being used, and it's sort of the same matches the same kind of guys and the same style of wrestling too. Like when I watch now, I just leave it on in the background.
It's always the same style.
Yeah, it's the same style. I think that's more to it than anything.
Well, if you look back, right?
Yeah.
Looking back on, you know, they've always had ups and downs. They've had bad periods and good periods.
Sure.
The wrestling is at an all-time high as far as quality of wrestling goes.
In WWE?
In
or
WWE.
Just
a,
right.
The athleticism and the wrestling is at a pinnacle moment. You cannot tell me that the Attitude Era had better wrestling.
Oh, it didn't. There's no way.
Or the 80s. Or even, you know, the 2000s, the quality of wrestling got up so much.
Oh, when people wax poetically about the days of WWE superstars, I'm like, you're out of your mind. Do you remember what those days were like? It was like two back-to-back squash matches. And then if you're lucky, the main event would be like mid-carders. Like,
let me tell you, I'll give you a main event.
Yeah.
Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Okay.
Versus Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Okay, yeah.
Main event.
That would be the main event
Once
of like
in a
superstars.
While, Flair would be on the main event of superstars.
Oh, really?
Once in a while. He would be like, you would have a world title match on the main event.
That was super rare. I don't even 92. Remember that ever happening. If you were lucky, Ultimate Warrior would show up with the IC title, but it would still be a squash match.
Still squash, yeah.
Hogan, you never saw. If it wasn't, like, when I was a kid, I never saw Hogan wrestle. You'd see interviews and they cut things
in. That's the allure of Hogan. That's why Hogan is Hogan. Also, you bring up a great point. A lot of the criticism for WWE has to do with overexposure of the product.
Oh, sure.
You have the network to get wrestling all day long. So now you have a comparison point. Then you got 5 hours of Raw and SmackDown. Then you have 205 Live, another hour, six. And you got NXT, seven.
There's a lot of stuff there. But here's the thing. It would be, I was enjoying the SmackDown, the brand split, for sure. Like, because it was a different product. So now when I see Roman Reigns on the same show twice, I'm not, at least it was a different show. Now it's like the same show, basically. You know, and I'm not a fan of that. I'm also not a big fan of beating your champions. I don't like seeing, like, you know, if you have I remember the first run the Revival had, they went 1-4 was like their record or something, or the Iconics, or even, you know, Finn Balor getting pinned as the IC champ. Like, I hate that. I think it devalues the championship to me personally. And I don't have an investment. Like, when I see Finn Balor now, I'm just kind of like, I'm not interested. And that's not his fault in a weird way. It's a very odd thing because he's not wrestling on any lower level.
No.
But the way they booked him or the way that those matches are presented, I'm just kind of like, I'll leave it on in the background and enjoy it. For me, that's the thing that I kind of want to see a little bit different. You can be more invested in that.
Yeah.
But I do like the Firefly Funhouse. Oh, I love that.
Oh, it's great.
I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, I want to know what they do with it.
That I don't know. That's the strange part. I wonder.
Where do you go from here?
That's the bizarre part. I mean, he's still somewhat of a devilish character, so you still have that. I don't know who they pick him to work with, but it's a very delicate thing.
I would have him do, like, the Faces of Foley thing, where, like, he'll wrestle as Bray, and he's, like, this good guy, and then he's, like, a total lunatic.
That would be great, too,
As whatever he is.
Yeah, I think that would be great. You know, it's interesting. I don't know who you have him haunt or who, you know, you have him work with.
Listen,
but I love those vignettes. I mean, those are, or whatever you call them, those are great.
At the end of the day, overexposure. It's overexposure of the product.
And I think that it's also, especially when you start having the guys back on two shows again, there's a lot going on. And so the expectation there, and it's almost unfair to those guys, like even Ronda Rousey being around, after a while, she just becomes.
That's the thing about everybody.
Yeah, they just become part of the thing.
You know, back to Hogan.
Yeah.
If we got Hogan the way we get Cena.
Yeah.
Okay?
We got
Cena.
Yeah.
Hogan would not have been Hogan.
No.
The turn would have happened. So his run was 84. Well, peak Hogan run, 84 to 88.
Yeah.
Peak Hogan run.
Well, I did the math in my head once comparing Cena to Hogan, right? Because back then, 4 pay-per-views a year.
4 pay-per-views, right. Yeah.
And if you really broke down,
well,
Cena,
not even,
but let's just say 4 for the sake of, like, by the time it was said and done, 4.
Yeah, 4.
Cena was doing, what, 13, 14 a year
Yeah.
pay-per-views? Like, if you really broke that down, Cena had like a 12-year run comparatively
to Hogan, yeah.
To what Hogan did. And I also get it. You can't run that business the same way because they didn't have what they have now, which is a weekly show. I guess that, well, the business model was completely different. It was about the live gate.
That was
back then.
Yeah, back then.
Now
it was
about the TV product and the TV ratings. That's where they make the bulk of their money.
TV deals.
So you can't not have Seth Rollins on TV.
Yeah, it is a and by the way, these criticisms that a lot of people are giving WWE,
yeah,
they will be in place for AEW.
They will
have the same uphill battle that WWE does. You know, Japan, everybody loves talking about New Japan. I love New Japan. I've been a fan of New Japan since all Japan, New Japan, right?
Yeah.
Since Japanese wrestling. Since the first time I saw Misawa and Kobashi, okay? You're going back 1997, 1996, 1998. That period, I became a big fan of Japanese wrestling, but it was not an easy, accessible thing to get. You had to go through tape traders. I had to go visit Jack Sabbath on Springfield Boulevard and get tapes. It was this hidden thing that you found, those FMW. It almost felt like I was buying smut films.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
You weren't supposed to be seeing something. It was exotic.
It was exotic.
It wasn't available to you. Yeah.
I would get these VHSs.
I'm almost glad YouTube wasn't around when I was a kid.
Oh,
I would have gotten nothing done.
No, nothing.
I would just been watching wrestling
all day long.
All day long,
and then overanalyzing everything.
Oh my god!
So the allure still for Japan exists in that category,
sure,
because we don't get it on TV regularly. They don't have shows. Their whole structure's different. We get to see the best of the best.
Even the access is like just highlights almost.
It's the best of the best
TV show. Yeah.
So. It's not a fair gauge. It's not a model that's equivalent. AEW will have that equivalent model where they are going to be doing, they're doing four major pay-per-views, but they're not doing house shows, but instead they're going to do the smaller shows. So I'll give an example.
What do you mean? Yeah.
Like AEW is going to be doing All Out, you know, like whatever. They're going to have four major pay-per-views a year. Then they're going to have those, like, extra BR live specials.
Okay.
Like the Fighter Fest and, Fight for the Fallen. They're going to have those. So they're going to have a pay-per-view model.
Sure.
It's just
but
not...
how many of those events are they going to do all year long?
I was told it's over four. A lot of people think that it's going to be four pay-per-views a year. It's not going to be four pay-per-views a year. It's going to be... I think they're going to run one every 6 weeks.
A pay-per-view every 6 weeks?
Yeah. They're not going to be the pay-per-view of like running, you know, the Sears Center. It's going to be smaller special events. And
that's
that takes place for house shows.
Well, here's the interesting part, because as much criticism as you want to give the WWE, there's things they have to deal with, like we're talking about. Again, they have to have, you know, TV deals and worry about all that stuff. They have to worry about the scheduling that they do, worry about the wrestling style, which is why they can't wrestle in New Japan style. I mean, they crank it up for pay-per-views, for sure.
Yeah, sure.
The quality there is great.
But again, you're right. It's a very uniformed way of wrestling in that company.
Yeah.
Everybody wrestles almost exactly the same way. And if you don't, you eventually start wrestling that way.
Yeah, and I think that's what kind of I don't enjoy. I enjoyed the wrestling that I saw in AEW, even just from a wrestling standpoint. And even people that I hadn't seen before. You know, it just becomes so much you forget about it. Like even pay-per-views, depending on what it is, I can't get invested for the entire thing because there's just so much going on. So it's going to be interesting to see if AEW can do that. Now they're going to be on weekly. The only thing they're not going to do is run house shows, as you just pointed out. So are they going to be able to maintain that quality that they have? And is it the quality, like is it something WWE isn't doing? Is it a choice to wrestle that way? And a choice to do things that way to preserve people versus like, oh, you know, you could do this. You could have great matches every week.
Yeah.
And not have it.
Listen, they're going to run about 60 dates.
I mean, that's, 60 dates for a wrestling company is not for that massive size.
And that massive
compared
size.
To what the WWE runs as far as the number of dates goes.
I think the guys in WWE, they're doing less days now that they compare. Like, I think Dean Ambrose, before his injury,
yeah,
did 202 days.
Jeez, that is insane.
Which, but that was, the schedule changed. That's before, I'm sorry, before the brand split. He did 202 days.
Yeah, and since the brand split, what?
Everybody's dates dropped down. AJ was doing the most last year, and I think he did like 98.
Okay, all right.
Before he got banged up.
That, you know, that's the other thing. You got to wonder if they're, why they're doing so many house shows to some degree, because
it's part of the model. They need to do it.
Is it though? I don't, are they
yeah,
making
they make money?
Money
yeah. Could,
do they do?
Yeah,
okay.
They do.
So
yes.
If they do, they do.
Yeah.
Because to me, I always wonder, is there a way to do it better where you're doing less house shows, but they're more full? Because I remember going to see one that was at like the Continental, whatever the
Continental Airlines
Arena.
Yeah,
I still call it the Continental or the Brendan Byrne Arena.
Yeah.
And it was just a third full, and you're like, why are you running this if it's a third full? But then again, I don't know.
Yeah, because
for sure.
They probably
so
make
not
it up with merch and they make
maybe
it up other
so
ways.
It might be
yeah.
worth it, but you're also wearing down the competitors at the same point, you know. So I mean, if they're not making money, I guess they don't
as
do
a
it,
whole
but.
As a whole, they are making money from house shows.
Or so what about, let me ask you about NXT, right? My understanding is that, and not to, again, this sounds like it's all negativity. I just, as a business guy, I want to kind of know. The NXT thing, do they still lose money on the overall?
I don't, okay, so we don't know because they don't disclose
that. That's
the
rumor that's been.
I think as, if you add, because you have to look at how you're adding NXT.
Right.
If you add the facility, trainers, like, so I'm talking the performance center.
The whole thing, yeah.
The trainers, the auditions, the, you know, maintenance of the facility, and then the NXT roster, that like Florida Loop roster, and then the main roster, I think they probably are losing money.
Okay.
But as far as NXT as a touring brand, they are not losing money on that.
As a touring brand?
As I'm saying, like the main touring NXT
brand. So they have two touring brands with this?
Yeah, there's a Florida Loop.
Okay.
Which is like people that are not really on TV and maybe like a main event.
Okay.
And then you have,
which makes sense because that's where they're, but that's really what it was supposed to be in general, wasn't it?
It was always supposed to be just a Florida Loop.
Right.
At MTV.
And then it, okay. And then it blew up to something bigger.
And then they expanded because they got, you know, their logic was everybody is worthless before WWE. So it doesn't matter if you're AJ Styles because they offered him $55,000. Before, when he left TNA,
they offered him 55.
By the way, he
grand.
Was making $500,000 in TNA.
Right.
$500,000. They offered him, I mean, just a I'm 90% sure on that number.
All right, but whatever it is, the number is indicative
of, it was under $100,000. Right. Let me just say that. Under $100,000.
See, so that's,
you go to NXT.
That's part of the sort of problem with it is the perspective on it. Because I watch TakeOver, and even I don't keep up with NXT, which I should because I really enjoy it. I was super into the TakeOver. I thought it was great. I'm not even just talking about the in-ring because the in-ring always gets a lot of props.
Yeah.
But they also have a month to prepare for that, you know? But the storytelling, I was like super into. Like, I get
it's great.
It's
Listen,
clear.
It's great wrestling.
Yeah.
But they don't really tell. Here's the problem. And you tell me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
And I'd love to get the audience's point of view. WWE right now has really good wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay. Main event. I'm talking pay-per-views. I'm not talking about like a squash match. I'm talking like even Baron Corbin and Seth Rollins, right?
When you think about it comparatively to what it used to be, that quality of that match is a good match.
The quality of the match, there's nothing wrong fundamentally with the match. They're not, you know, compared to what we got 15 years
right.
ago. So that's obviously not the problem. They fix that. The problem, okay, it could be a lack of superstar. Everybody is a star, but nobody is Hulk Hogan. Nobody is The Rock. They don't have that. They're not creating that because it's about more of the brand and less about the one-off
talent. See, I'd be fine with that. I don't like it when it's one star. I did not like the Cena era, and I don't even dislike Cena. It was just he was pushed so hard every week. And that was the guy.
Well, they do that. They still do that with Roman. They did that with Roman Reigns.
Right.
What I'm saying is they are not building individual stars. They're making an overall blanket of guys that are pretty good. You know, in any era.
Which is kind of silly to do because WWE is the brand now.
That's how they see it.
I agree with that. Because no matter who's there, WWE is the brand. But that doesn't mean you can't have people who are intriguing and interesting being on top.
I
think part of that is just, you know what? I don't know the answer to it. The answer is it's Vince and why he doesn't want certain
things. I don't even think it's Vince. You know what it is? It's stockholders. It's this, you know, having, a lot of people overlook the fact that they have two presidents of the company. They have George Barros and Michelle, I forgot her last name.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And a lot of times having two people in one leadership role does not work. I think that's something to consider here.
How much do they affect the creative, though?
Everything affects the creative. It's an utter bureaucracy. With the way that stories get channeled down from I mean, we hear the story that, you know, Jon Moxley, his interviews.
Right.
But I have heard the story number of times from people that tell us, that work there, that listen to the show. If you have an idea, you can't just go and run into Vince's office and be like, Vince, I got this great idea.
Sure.
What do you think? It doesn't work like that anymore. Even if you do that, he's like, all right, great. Tell the agent. And then the agent will tell the producer. The producer will tell this one. And then by the time it gets to TV, Michelle Wilson, thank you, in the chat.
Oh, nice.
By the time it executes to TV, and then it's been rewritten 18
but
times.
But let me ask you this. Whose idea do you think it is when, for the revival as tag team champ, or Hawkins and Ryder to in four matches, win once and get pinned three times as the tag team champions without losing the belts? Whose idea is that?
I don't know that specific.
I think that goes to, I don't mean that specific. I mean saying just in general.
Listen, at the end of the day, it always goes to Vince,
It goes to Vince.
It always will go to Vince. But by the time it gets to Vince, it's numerous hands.
There's a lot of
And then
people
by the time
the
it gets back to TV, it's another set.
Which is never a good situation.
No.
Creatively, it's never.
I don't think
whether
bureaucracies
it's wrestling
work.
Or other aspects of
Committees
it.
Don't work. I'm all for a totalitarian state. I want there to be one tyrannical dictator that says, okay, this is what we're doing.
Sure. Provided they know what they're doing.
Unfortunately, is a 73-year-old man the
right
person with his finger on the pulse.
But I don't know, man. I've heard so many stories where people go, it just can't be. Everyone who leaves there always sort of has the same story. Like, it's hard to do this there. It's hard to throw great ideas. Even when you have a good idea, it gets stepped on. And it's, at the end of the day, that's his call.
And even if they say yes. Even if they say yes to that great idea.
But when you watch something that's under that umbrella that has nothing to do with Vince, like NXT, you see these characters get developed.
Ah, okay.
Right.
Great point.
Yeah.
So let's go to that.
All right. You see these great characters get developed. They have full runs down there, and you're like, this character is sort of this complete character.
But do they do storylines? I'm saying stories.
They do stories. They usually have a backstory.
Other than a grudge match.
Other than a grudge match. Yeah. I mean, the Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano thing went a year.
Grudge match?
Kind of, but there is, well,
Best friends turned on each other. They don't really do stories.
And you know, it's ironic because I love stories.
I do too.
Right. And yet I'm still invested in that. It's how they tell the story that maybe they have less time to do it, I guess.
I feel that if they implemented stories, like how they implement stories in WWE,
sure,
they would suffer from the same exact problem. Right now,
you think it's too many stories in WWE?
I think they don't know how to tell a story week over week.
Because to me, this is a weird thing, and I might be in the minority here. The complaint I always hear is there's not enough wrestling. There's too much talking.
Where is this? In WWE?
Yeah, on Raw, let's say. And to me, it's the opposite. I love the in-ring segments. I'd rather those, because to me, without that, all right, I'm watching the hot tag again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm just like on my laptop doing whatever.
Yeah.
I'm doing, but Becky cutting a promo, and I get that it can't be all that stuff. You want a good balance of it, but I love the story. Like the Cody Rhodes thing, that match, that had a story. It was a very simple story.
But that was a great story, yeah.
Great story. The Young Bucks thing, it was a very simple story. Hey, we've been so busy running this company, we haven't really had time to devote ourselves to the in-ring thing. Are we still the best tag team in the world? We got to prove it to ourselves. The Kenny Omega Jericho thing, I couldn't tell you what the story is other than both guys want to be
who ran over Aleister Black. That was a story.
Okay, yeah, who You know who knocked out Hideo Tommy?
Who knocked out? Who did it?
I guess it was supposedly Kevin Owens, but he left. I guess they never...
But see, they don't do a great job at it. Things fall apart. And then you had the whole feud with Ciampa and Gargano, and then they teamed up.
You know,
that was weird.
And that
like, if you really look at it...
That's true, and that might be a result of them only doing one episode a week. It's 1 hour, and not everybody is in every episode.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it, too, where they don't have to resort to it. I mean, I don't want it every week to be who ran over Steve Austin.
I want everything to be who ran over Steve Austin. I think we need to do that in Capitol.
Who ran over Harry? Well, I mean, we have stories
with
going
a white
on
Hummer.
In Capitol.
With a
oh,
white
Hummer.
Hummer. White
well,
Hummer.
Listen, you're the guy to make that happen. If we can get some synergy going between
I could get that
the
Hummer.
Gentleman's Club.
I could get that Hummer. Can we use the Hummer in a segment where somebody gets run over? That'll be the moment.
You know what?
I'll
pitch it. But I love. But that's the thing about Capitol for me is that we focus heavily on stories in the old school way. So it's not like the Vince Russo, you know, forcing someone to drink bleach and that's your story.
Or a referee trying to commit suicide every single week. Do you remember that?
Yes, that was a very bizarre thing because that was online only.
That was an
referee,
online only.
Tim White.
Yeah.
If you don't remember this, on their website, on the WWE.com, I don't remember what
early
year
days,
it was.
This is pre-YouTube, by the way.
Pre-YouTube. They were running these series of things where they kept interviewing referee Tim White, and then every week he would find a way to kill himself.
And he would fail at it.
He would fail at it, but he was more depressed week after week. And that's one of those things where I go, how and why? How and why does that happen? How does that, out of everything that's pitched, right? Because we always hear great ideas like, oh, like Bully Ray saying, I wanted to redo the Bully Ray character in WWE, but Vince didn't get it, flat out. But somehow,
yeah,
they approved this Tim White thing.
It's like one episode, he's drinking rat poison.
Rat poison?
And then he's so incompetent of a human being, he can't even eat the rat poison properly, so he falls back. I mean, it's actually pretty hysterical.
They are funny. It's just very weird and no payoff. It wasn't working an angle.
No.
It was just an online digital.
It was an online thing. You know what that was? It was like how Sunday Night Heat had Stevie Night Heat happening.
Okay.
And nobody knew they were doing that. Stevie Richards was doing that. Until Stephanie came to taping one day and they're like, what the hell is Stevie Night Heat? And everybody got in trouble.
Oh my God.
Because it was like the inmates were running the assignment. At that point, it was so chaotic. He was telling me, this is the best thing he ever told me. So they were doing the Stevie Night Heat thing where it was essentially him. It was all about him, you know?
All right. What was Sunday this? Night Heat. I don't remember. I remember Sunday Night Heat, obviously.
Okay. So Stevie Richards became like the main guy on Sunday Night Heat.
Right.
With Victoria. And they were doing like these, like every week it was like part of Stevie Night Heat. They were called Stevie Night Heat.
Called Stevie Night Heat.
Yeah.
Which is
so
great.
They would do all these like wacky stuff and it was like very creative with the stuff that they were doing. And essentially, Tommy Dreamer, Stevie, Victoria, Coach, like all these people were writing TV on the fly.
Sure.
Nobody was watching it from WWE. Nobody was watching Sunday Night Heat until one day Steph was at the taping and she was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? What is this? And then they put like a grinding halt to everything because it was
made no sense.
But that's
the thing that always... that becomes real frustrating. Like even Zack Ryder getting over and doing... Long Island IC or the Long Island
got over on its own. Yeah.
He got over on its own. Then WWE made him put it on their YouTube channel. And then immediately they started to change it and said, you can't do this and you can't do that. You can't. And it's sort of like, I get it. You have to have control. But some of it is just, it seems arbitrary. It's just control it to control it. You know, like the there's nothing I hate worse than a decision that's just made because I can make a decision or I have to make a decision. You know.
I think, you know, especially with writing and all that stuff, it's such a complicated process where I feel bad for the writers because they read all the negative stuff about them.
It's not their fault.
And it's not even their fault because what they are writing is not the same as it's being executed.
First of all, it's not what they want to be writing to begin with. So whatever ideas they pitched... it went through some filter that it's not their ideas because everyone says most of the ideas don't go through.
Yeah.
So now you're writing a thing that's not, and even when you write it, it gets changed by somebody else. And then when it gets presented, it gets presented.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you were to come up with one hot angle, I want you to think about this, a really hot angle to say that you would say, okay, you know what? This may turn around the business a little bit for WWE. This will be something that's going to get people back or get people to stick around. What would you do?
Oh, geez. See, now you're see what you're doing is leveling like, all right, you come up with the greatest thing ever.
It's not easy. Obviously, the answer is an invasion angle. I would do an invasion angle.
Yeah.
I would do something like that. I would have some sort of NXT invasion.
But they've done that before.
They've done it.
It's been a while. But you know what? You're right. Those things, invasion angles, are fun. You know, they do generate a buzz.
A buzz.
Initially. And then what you do with it after.
But what do you do? I mean, I ask this question
all the time. To me, I don't think there's... What is the greatest angle that ever changed wrestling? NWO, I would gather.
All of wrestling? Yes. NWO changed.
Like, what's next after the NWO?
So, Hall and Nash going to WCW started something.
It's part of the NWO. Let's call it that, yeah.
Austin. You know what? I'll tell you
what... Was that an angle, though? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think is such an angle that changes things. I think there are... stars and directions that change things. Austin McMahon.
That story. That really, you know, that the whole story with Austin McMahon, that was never supposed to happen.
No.
It was supposed to be a placeholder.
For what?
For Mick Foley. Till Cactus Jack was ready to be in the main event.
Okay.
And they decided to go, because it was so successful, they went with that. But originally, Austin's main feud as world champion was going to be Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was supposed to be the big feud for him. But Steve Williams got his ass knocked out in that tough enough competition and it killed him. He was never the same after that. So then it became Foley. Let's get Foley ready for Austin. But you couldn't turn this guy heel.
Foley. Yeah, right.
He was too likable after that. So they did McMahon.
But I think the thing with the McMahon... Okay, so that's another example of something that... I think there are things that happen gradually, and you can create stars and push stars, but sometimes things happen gradually, and you have to run with them.
Yeah.
And when people don't run with them, I think that drives me a little bit nuts. Like, when you have somebody naturally over... I didn't like Kevin Owens being turned heel again. He was a face. He was over.
Well, that's what they do. They don't have any continuity.
That's a huge problem.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest problem is you don't... The wild card thing. You just go... Even if you're doing the wild card, they just shout wild card rule now. You know what I mean? Like, wild card rule. You're like, what does that mean to a guy who's just tuning in, or a girl who's just tuning in? You're like, what the hell does wild card mean? I don't know what that means.
So I'm going to... I'll give you an example. So somebody in the chat room said something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He goes... WWE started going down after Russo left creative, then the company as a whole. WWE, Russo left in 99.
Yeah, that's, I don't agree with
WWE
that.
WWE peaked way after that. Actually,
what would you say was the peak of it? 2001?
2000 was the peak of business.
Even with the invasion angle, didn't that draw a huge number of pay-per-views?
The invasion angle drew the biggest non-WrestleMania buy rate.
Buy rate, okay.
I think it was 734,000. Somebody check that. If I remember that number accurately, I am so embarrassed as a human being. That invasion...
Regardless, like, they peaked well after, and they also continued well after.
They maintained, but it was a major... In 2000, you started seeing a little bit of a hiccup. But a lot of that had to do with just the wrestling bubble.
Yeah,
going.
It burst, but they still did a lot of quality work since then. To
2001, I think 2002 was a great year for them. They were doing a lot of great stuff in 2002.
I think they go all the way up. For me, it goes all the way through about 2005, 2006 before it starts.
And then it went down.
I think
lost interest in 2008, 9,
right.
10.
I was still watching, but I wasn't wasn't enjoying it as much.
Yeah.
This is a fun theory, is that that's when Vince tore his quads.
770,000, Byron.
That's pretty good, buddy.
For non-WrestleMania.
Right. That was huge.
That was huge.
Now, again, that everything went, I think, down real quick after that for a little bit. But there were still interesting storylines that they were doing. There were still interesting characters and stuff. I think there's just a lot of wasted talent up there. Like a guy like Bobby Roode.
A great, great talent.
Great talent. And even when you brought him into your own facility, NXT, over huge. Yeah. Even as whether he's a heel or a face. And what's he doing now? I couldn't tell you. He was doing something with a mustache.
And then you shave the mustache.
They stopped that gimmick too.
Yeah.
So now he has nothing. And you go, well, that's a guy who's got a lot of talent that you're not using. So don't tell me you need to have certain guys on both brands because your talent, you can't both have the most stacked roster and then also have nothing.
I'm trying to think an answer to my own question. Okay, give me little things that you would change.
Basically continuity, like you were talking about. Yeah. One, I don't like the idea of champions.
They're hiring a continuity storyboarder. You seen that?
I have seen
that. I got little news about that.
Yeah.
That they are having great difficulty
finding someone to do that role?
Yeah.
Why?
The way that they want them to do it.
Oh, which means that they can't do that job.
Not to stick to continuity.
Right. So that's the WWE.
Isn't that amazing? We're looking for a guy to be a continuity producer, a continuity executive producer of continuity and storyboarding. But you do not follow storyboarding or continuity.
That's part of, I don't even, I don't get that part of it. But that's some of the things that, when you book people, make those belts matter. They're doing a great job with the U.S. title, but I think that's more Samoa Joe.
That's way more Samoa Joe.
But the IC title, I don't have any interest in seeing.
Many titles. It's too many.
You know what? I don't know that it is. I think it depends on the value of what you do with them.
Do you like Kofi as world champion?
I do. I'm enjoying it.
I enjoy the chase.
Yeah.
I thought it was a nice story.
Yeah.
I don't think he's... I think a lot of people like him personally.
Yes.
They like that he got the title. I don't think he has upped his game as champion. He has stuck to pandering to the audience.
Fair enough. I like seeing what he's doing. It's not, you're right, it's not at another level.
It's not,
he's
got to
change
level.
The gear a little bit.
Which, this is the thing, when Jinder Mahal had the title.
Yeah.
Okay. He got the look right.
Yeah.
I mean, he really... I was actually a big fan of Jinder with the title.
I did like that. I liked it.
I liked it because it was so different and out of left field. The same reason why I like Kofi with the title.
Yeah.
It's almost equivalent. It was a guy you don't envision having that title, and it's a great story to tell where, look, anything is possible. Anybody could get this.
Sure.
On a fluke or not, anybody could up their game. And I think for Jinder, his story was... a redemption story where the guy got fired. He was flabby. He said he was drinking like a 12-pack a day, and he looked like crap, and he changed his whole life. He started eating clean. He stopped drinking heavily, and he got in great shape, and he got this look. He was really solid as a promo for that role he was playing.
Oh, sure, yeah. I thought it was great.
But he could not up the game to a main event style. He could, because he's never wrestled at that level. There's different. Listen, you heavily involved with Capital Wrestling,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
On and off screen.
Yeah.
There are different matches put in different points of the evening.
Absolutely.
And at different styles. So it doesn't counteract with a different match. So if you have the main event and you know that's going to be a unbelievable match.
Sure.
The guys generally don't try to outshine the main event in a promotion.
Well, I don't. It's a process of everybody focusing on their match. Usually, you book. You still want everyone to wrestle as great a match
as
they can.
As the best that they can.
But
now,
they
might
in.
Be better than the main event. That does happen. You can't say that sometimes a match isn't better than.
Sure.
But that
does happen.
As long as it's in the clubhouse of, like, the upper level of wrestling, you know. And there's other people who are good wrestlers. The storyline is more important in that sort of angle in that match. And that's why maybe they're not in the main event.
Listen, you're given 5 minutes, right? Let's say we're booking a match. Third match on the card. They got 5 minutes. Those guys aren't going to go out there and say, you know what? They gave us 5 minutes. F these guys. We're going to go out there, and I'm going to hit you with a power bomb to start. Then you're going to clothesline me out to the outside.
Sure.
You're going to do a flip backwards on me.
Right.
We're going to go brawl in the crowd, come back in. I'm going to hit you with a stunner. You're going to hit me with another power bomb. We're going to do power move after power move and then take the pin.
Sure. That you messes up the rest of the show.
That messes up
everything. But here's the interesting part. As an independent company, depending on what company you're running and how you run it, you sometimes don't control that as much as you would like to. Now, we have agents and things and people who plan the matches out.
Yeah, but the boys are a little bit smarter than to do that.
You'd like to think.
You like to think.
You'd
that.
Like to think.
Yeah, as
sure.
a whole, I'm saying
and most
I,
of the
I'm
time,
generalizing.
Yeah,
most of the time.
You do get that.
Yeah.
But you still have to plan that out. Different matches, different styles for sure. And by the way, you can come and check all that out this Monday, just
this
to throw
Monday
another plug
in,
because it's been a little bit. You gotta, as the owner, I gotta throw the plug. Check it out in Brooklyn, June 28th, 8 p.m. bell time at St. Anthony's, and it's gonna be a lot of fun.
St. Anthony's?
St. Anthony. What did
Saint
I
Patrick.
Say? St. Patrick's. I made it uber Italian, because we're in Bay Ridge.
We're in Bay Ridge.
We're in Bay Ridge, baby.
St. Anthony's.
But you can check all that info out on the Capital Wrestling social media, and we'll even have Homicide will be making an appearance. We have
Homicide,
Special K.
Yes.
Anthony Gangone, Matt McIntosh, so many people.
By the
Sonny
way,
Kiss.
I want to say... Sonny Kiss from AEW.
Yes.
Matt McIntosh, great talent.
Absolutely.
Anthony Gangone, unbelievable, I mean, Northeastern name in independent wrestling.
Well, he was supposed to be. I've actually, all right, so I'm kind of like joking around here. Him and Chuck Payne, I'm trying to use his name to promote because he's got friends out there, but I have had them banned from two events this weekend.
Gangone and Chuck Payne.
Yeah, Gangone and Chuck Payne will be banned because of their violent behavior.
Oh, from, yeah.
Well, specifically, and violent behavior, actions, and disrespect towards me as the owner
of Capital
Wrestling. I mean, for God's sakes, they took a staple gun and put it against Sakamiko's head and
stapled
that young man. They did, and they ruined that young man's modeling career.
Beautiful face on him.
Beautiful face.
No more.
Sakamiko. Sakamiko will be there. But anyway,
somebody's asking, will there be Gabagool there?
Gabagool?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not running a concession stand, but
can you just have like a little bit of Capicola? Just hand them out?
Who's it for? I could bring it. Well, we could work that into a gimmick. Well, then I guess, no, I'm not a, you know, I'm...
You know what? I want to book a stereotype gimmick. Italian guy.
Yeah.
You know, he goes out. You know how the money falls down for Okada? Just Capicola. Just
the
salami.
Handmaker?
Yeah, the handmaker.
Yeah. I think that would be a great gimmick.
Can Anthony Gangone's gimmick be... The handmaker?
I mean, listen, if I had my way.
Listen, if I had my way, I would have a tag team called the Peugeot Boys.
That somehow this gimmick is going to end up being more expensive than the Million Dollar Man gimmick. Because if you go by the pound of how much Capicola costs, it's more expensive than
My idiot brother.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not my brother. He's not my brother. Deacon is not my
brother.
Know
if that, I still don't know if
that's a work.
I mean, how long we've
Intern
known each
Deacon.
Other?
10 years.
10 years. To this day, I swear. Every time I come here, there's a different answer.
Deacon.
Yeah.
Not my brother.
I do know he's an intern.
He is an intern.
Who looks remarkably like you, but not enough for me to say that.
Not, yeah. Yeah. It could be the Armenian thing, or it cannot be
just
the Armenian
jet black
thing.
Hair.
Just
I
jet
don't
black
know.
Hair and
anyway.
The eyebrows. He went to order gabagool.
Mm-hmm.
But he went to like Woolbounds.
Oh boy!
And he's like, "I want a half a pound of gabagool."
Yeah.
And the guy behind the counter, it's a black guy.
Yeah.
He's like, "What the fuck is that?"
I don't know what the hell.
And the guy's like, he's like gabagool. He's like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that word is. Yeah. And this lady goes, he means capicola. And he goes, we don't have that here. And walks.
It's Woolbounds, sir.
Woolbounds.
How does Capicola? I almost see that's
say
how
it
becomes.
See, that's how
Capicola.
It becomes. You say quick enough.
Capicola.
Yeah. Same way. Why do Italians in Jersey put wine in their Coca-Cola?
Oh, I don't know.
They put red wine in it.
That's, I've never seen
that. It's a
North
Jersey thing, yeah.
My mom would put some soda, actually, in her wine, like orange soda.
That's interesting.
Yeah, very bizarre.
Sangria.
Very bizarre woman.
You're making a sangria.
I guess. Poor man sangria.
Listen, I need to have a meeting with you because I work for you now.
Yes.
As the owner. I am your CMO.
Yes, sir.
We need to talk about our budget for cured meats.
Cured meats.
We need.
So you're saying that needs to be upped.
I think it needs to be upped.
So this is the first idea you're coming in with.
This is my first.
I'll respect it.
My first pitch.
This is what you did at Sapphires, too? You're like, hey, right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, what we're lacking is a lot of cold cuts.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it was. I'm pitching you the same idea.
I would love it if you did that and you're like, the customer happiness went up by a lot.
I want to, you know what? Just to make everybody, we got like 100 and something, 200 people coming to that show.
Sure.
I just want to take one slice
give
them to everybody. Yeah, one slice
as
each.
As they walk in the door?
As they walk in the door.
So some pamphlets, some flyers, and a slice.
And a slice.
A single slice. No napkin.
Thin slice.
Thin slice. Of course, you're not going to be crazy here. No, the thick slice we save for, like, you know, the anniversary show.
Yeah.
That's when we go all out. The big RAEW.
Oh, my God. What happened to this?
I don't
know. How did we get off this train?
How did we get on the...
And this is how bad WWE TV gets written.
So you know what? You say that. I would love that angle. I do love the 24/7 title.
You do like it.
I do like it. I like it. It's
fun. I like the concept.
I like what they're doing with it.
Well, the point, they are going in the right direction where it's becoming more of a digital property.
Right. Well, I always expected that.
To counteract the lack of, they're going to be pulling back on the content that they're putting online to bring you to TV.
What are they putting online that they...
Like, literally, as the show is happening, they're posting clips from the segments on YouTube.
Oh, okay. I see. Just basically Raw. Right.
Raw
stuff
and SmackDown,
that happened on Raw.
And then 205 Live. Like, literally, they keep doing it. So,
do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
I think that's
ironically,
a terrible idea.
Because, ironically, it brings more people to it overall, or aware of the product, right? Because
I think what it does, it takes someone that might be a little disenfranchised and makes them totally disenfranchised,
right,
and they just watch YouTube clips. And they're like, okay, I know what's happening.
Oh, I see what you're saying, posting it on YouTube.
Undertaker showing up today? I'm not going to sit there 3 hours. I'll just watch it on YouTube when it's posted.
Oh, okay.
So it takes away.
See, but I think, you know, the interesting part is that's where TV is kind of going in a weird way.
Yeah.
Well, the whole thing with TV, I guess it won't be the same, but it is going to merge, basically. We still have TV as a system. But internet and TV is going to be like one thing. Like CBS is just going to be a streaming service, that same thing like WWE does. It happens to air live. I think that will happen within 20 years.
I don't know. I think we're in a weird position right now as to what happens with TV ratings. You know, as long as sports still perform well on TV,
right,
everybody piggybacks off of that.
Right.
So if the NFL says, screw this, we're going to do it on our own service. I don't know why they would want to do that, but let's say they do that. That's when you would see a tremendous decline in television viewership. And then everybody,
I mean, it
goes
could
online.
Happen because they could go, you know what? I mean, why are we splitting this ad revenue? We're the draw here.
Yeah.
Football is the draw. Why are we splitting this with you
guys?
Because
TV rights fees.
Right. But saying, like, let's do away with that, we just take the... But then again, we're not making the
ad. I think the fear is you can never outsell a TV network that has, you know, 50, 60 years of brand recognition and sales development.
Fair enough.
You don't... I think that's the big problem. I think WWE, if it wasn't for the... I think WWE taking all their pay-per-views off pay-per-view was a really bad move.
Really?
I would have done the big four still on pay-per-view?
Well, I don't know which ones are on. Other than WrestleMania, to be honest, I don't know which ones
are still on
pay-per-view. Every once in a while, there's one that is.
I think the big four and the... No, I think all of them are.
I don't know.
It depends on the carrier. Depends on the pay-per-view carrier.
Really?
Like, Fios
has them
all.
Do they? Okay, it's odd because they'll still say the thing. Talk about continuity. They'll still go, you know, Money in the Bank exclusively on the WWE Network. You're like, I know for a fact it's not exclusive on the WWE
Well, they
Network.
Don't, because they don't want to tell you that it's on.
Right, but isn't that illegal to some degree? Like, isn't that a boundary of going, like, you know, isn't that the same thing like saying 100% vitamin C? You're like, you can't say that if it's not
Adam
true.
In our chat room says something interesting. He goes, if I don't get the Big Four on the network, I would probably cancel. But you wouldn't have canceled if it was never there. I think they offered too much. They offered way too much up front.
Way too much up front. I mean, it's an insane value, by the way, too. Like that, it's still $9.99. They never upped that
far. Well, that's going up next year. 2020, it's going up.
How much did you say?
They're going tiered.
Oh, they're going tiered. Oh, man.
Yeah, they're going tiered.
That involves what? Is the pay-per-views as a separate thing? The archives as a separate thing?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of tier. I don't think they know. So they were very adamant on when they launched this network, they were looking at numbers like 3.5 million subscribers.
How many do they have?
2, I think.
Wow.
I think it's 2 million subscribers now. A little shy of 2. They really thought if they offer everything,
that they could get 3.
They could get 3. Because they were trying to make sense of certain numbers. They were like, if we have 3, it'll be this. Or
it'll be worth that.
It'll be worth
it.
I mean, the big pay-per-views.
So they're just doing a bigger Patreon.
They're doing a tremendous
Patreon. It's the same thing you think about when you put together a Patreon. Like, no, I think 3 million people will follow us over. But 3 million is extraordinarily high. How many people watch Raw every week?
Well, if we go back 4 years, within over 3 million.
Right.
But it's they have a very liberal way they count numbers.
Right, but even
so
if
it's like,
you
well,
take that
if
number
it's 3
to be,
million, if we have 3 million people that watch Raw every week and we get half of those immediately, and then we could add another million.
But that's not the way it works.
It's
not how it works at all. In fact, the number, anything you do, and I you know, listen occasionally to like Tim Ferriss and stuff. So basically, they always break down anything you're doing, if you want to take it a step further and have your fans follow you, maybe 10%, and even that's a high number.
You have the network, right?
Follow you.
Yeah,
I do have the network.
But you don't watch Raw every week.
I watch it consistently, but not every week now.
Okay.
But now I've stopped now, but for the most part, I was.
So you would be a great candidate for them. That's how they see this. So they had the archives, so you would bring in maybe 200,000 people from the WCW people. You would bring in more people from the archive. They thought
there are no WCW people. You know what I mean? They're trying to draw wrestling fans from the past.
I'll tell you this.
That's a very optimistic perception. The reality is, from whatever your number is, a small percentage follow you. So the number is who's watching Raw, the number one show, the highest rated show every week. That's your following.
So if we go 4 years ago,
to pay money, even if it's for Andrew, which is not going to be, even if let's say it's 5 million, you can't expect all those people to follow you. They're just not going to take the next step and pay $10 a month.
Okay.
Even if you're offering something incredible, which they are, you're still not going to get that many.
So let's look at
that number. Seems crazy that they would think that was possible.
Confirm. Ad blocker. I can't get onto the stupid link because
you have an ad blocker.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. So Raw ratings. So remember, the network launched. It was originally going to launch in 2013, right?
Right.
WWE Network launch. I got to see when this is. February 24, 2014. It was supposed to launch in 2013. In 2013, they were doing close to 4 million viewers a show.
Okay.
So October 2014 averaged 3.75 million viewers. That's not the lowest draw of the year, but of the last 2 years, the second lowest month was May, and it averaged 3.91 million. Oh, my God. It's crazy how the numbers have plummeted. So January of 2013, the ratings were almost at 4.8 million, and then it went up, down. So there was a big spike in viewership in 2014 of April. And then WrestleMania, obviously. And then it just went down. So they were anticipating, you know, 4.5. Their estimates were like 4.5 million people were watching Raw. If 3 million of them come on board with our viewership and people that just want the old stuff.
75%. So what you're basically saying is hopefully 75% of our audience are so loyal watching this free product that we give them every week.
You know, you could hire anybody to give you the numbers that you want.
That's what I'm saying. That
analytics
I never heard that estimation. that estimation is insane.
Insane. But any kind, I always say this because I'm big on analytics.
Sure.
I love looking at numbers. And that's kind of really what I do.
Absolutely. That's why you're successful at it.
I'm really good at forecasting.
Sure.
What I have also learned is I could take any number, it could be a terrible number, and I could spin this and read this to you in a positive way.
Sure.
If you are paying me to do that.
Right. Right.
If you are paying me to come up with some sort of way that these numbers equate to what you want it to equate, I could do it. And I'm not pulling it out of my ass. I'm just showing you a different way to read this.
You're just showing a different perspective.
A different perspective to these numbers. I think in WWE's mind, they were investing so much money in the infrastructure and doing this, and they were looking for that 3 million mark, and they were told, yeah, that's a realistic expectation.
That's insane.
That's realistic. Think about how many people throughout the year order pay-per-views. WrestleMania alone is 1 million people. So there's your first 1 million. How many other people would want to watch WrestleMania that can't afford it for this much money? There's another 1 million.
Yeah, it just doesn't work.
Great example of falsification of numbers.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you're selling me on it. Here's how great this is. For half a second, I go, have I been wrong this whole time? Yeah, I mean, it would be WrestleMania $60 a year. The network itself is $120.
But see, that, and then how many people want the archives? You don't think there's a 500,000 people out there that are interested in older wrestling?
I don't think there's 500,000 people who don't watch the product now.
I'm going to tell you, there's 500,000 P1s, real wrestling fans only.
I've heard this. I've heard this number from you. Right. They're real wrestling fans.
Real wrestling fans.
Cheapo, non-cheapo, fuck wrestling fans. That's the difference. That everything has a level to it.
Everything has a level to it.
Like, when you ask somebody for a dollar, like this show you do for free. Now you make money in different ways.
On Patreon and ads, yeah.
Sure. Now, if you start asking, if you go, hey, guess what, guys? We're going to be charging a dollar. People come with pitchforks and nooses, and they're where the fuck do you get the balls, Andrew Zarian? To charge a dollar for this kind of, people lose their minds. It's a psychological thing. I'm sorry, I was interrupting a point making. No, that's all I had to say about it.
I don't remember what my point was. So here was my point.
Yeah.
My point was, let me remember this point.
Okay.
Now I lost it.
You
Jesus
did lose
Christ.
It. I'm sorry. We were
lost
talking
my
about
freaking point.
WWE Network, numbers, analytics, 500,000 for the archives.
It was analytics based.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry.
Shit. It was good,
too. I
was
so passionate about
it. God damn it. It was a good point.
We were talking about the numbers. You can pay anyone to spin the numbers.
You can pay anybody. Yeah, anybody can spin the numbers.
Right. You're just finding a new positive number. And I was so convinced.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
The greatest myth was that, so when Raw and Nitro were going head-to-head.
Sure.
Nitro was still getting 3.5 million people.
Yeah.
So WWE was looking at it as like, okay, listen. Those 3.5, they're coming to us. This was the best. They sat down and they were thinking, oh my God, we're going to have,
now that they're out of the way,
about 7 million people watching.
That's incredible.
The worst we could ever do is 5 million viewers.
Right.
They really would, like, this was the logic that these guys are all coming to us. And then they never showed up. And then the myth was, where did they go? The WCW fan disappeared. Gone. That WCW fan never existed. They were not a pure WCW fan. If you wanted to equate actual numbers, you would have said, how many people purely watch Raw and how many people purely watch Nitro?
Well, how do they measure the ratings of that? Because
it's
I know as
skewed.
A kid...
It's always skewed.
I know as a kid, I was flipping back and forth.
Everybody
so I
was
watching both. But... I don't know how that works with Nielsen boxes. Does that count towards two things when you're
flipping?
Well,
Nielsen is an overall average.
Okay.
Per 1,000 or whatever, 10,000.
What I'm saying, are those numbers duplicate, meaning like, are those separate individuals? They're saying, so what are you saying is the myth? I don't understand.
The myth is that they disappeared. I believe they never existed.
So what do you think those numbers were?
I think it was people going back and forth watching both products. I think it was a very small group of people that were like pure WCW purists at the end of WCW's run.
I would agree
run.
With that. I think most wrestling fans were watching
both. Went back
both.
And forth. They were watching
both. And I
both.
Think just like most wrestling fans are going to watch AEW.
But a lack of depth in numbers would tell you this show has this many and this show has this many and they're on at the same time. So how could you possibly watch both?
Right. Well, you know? And see, well, that's the thing I don't see. All right, so that's the mystery part of it.
The mystery part
What did Nielsen count as those ratings?
We don't know.
See, that's the problem.
We don't know.
Now, you're saying you think there's no way that
they
just disappeared.
Remember, ratings are different than viewership.
Right.
The rating is different than the viewership. The other problem here is Dave Meltzer did a great analysis of who from the people that ordered pay-per-views, who ordered what,
right,
and who ordered AEW. AEW, for example, I do think they're going to bring in a lot of these people that turn wrestling off.
I agree with that.
I think a lot of these guys, but I don't know what percentage still has interest in it. I do think MMA was the real hurtful thing to WWE.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was MMA because people grew up from wrestling and then they got into real fighting.
And it was hard to go back. I
think that's what it was because when WWE, because if you remember, you know, WWE was just in your face and loud and violent.
Sure. Yeah,
and
that
then
was
they
the
softened
attitude
up
era,
and that's
yeah.
what they kind of wanted. But who replaced that was MMA. The violence, the in your face.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just funny to me why it has, I think it's a cultural thing where you're like, well, I can't go back to the quote unquote, the fake stuff.
Yeah.
When I'm watching MMA.
Yeah.
God, that's so weird. I mean, it's all stuff we want to get in on and be involved with, but we're a smaller independent, but it's stuff to think about, you know? I mean, look, everybody wants to get at that level. So it's going to be fun to see. I think it will bring back wrestling fans. I don't think there'll be wrestling fans that go far back as WCW. I think what it's going to be is wrestling fans who've shut it off within the last 10 years because they go, this becomes sort of repetitive. And it feels repetitive.
It does.
There's some bright spots, but then they kind of don't let those bright spots hang out anymore. You know, there's so many people they brought up where you're like, you know, Bobby Roode's my favorite example of like, and EC3 is another one. So you're not doing anything with them. So why did you bring them up?
So nobody else has them.
Right, and that's the only reason. And I think that business model can only last for
only
so long.
So much. Yeah.
You can't pay the Revival $500,000 or whatever it is. That's the number on record. Or Mike Kanellis, who I kind of want to see. It's
he
ironic.
He just signed a 5-year contract. Oh, by the way, that's their new thing, 5-year contract.
Yeah, that's
no more
what I've heard.
No more 2-year, 5-year.
Right, because it's more advantageous. They're just trying to squash out anything with AEW.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it. But I think you can only hand out so many of those things before you kind of eat away at your budget.
Yeah.
And it becomes a problem again.
Yeah.
So, like, Mike Kanellis, and I want to see, I'm actually interested in his real life story.
Yeah.
As a guy recovering. Like,
recovering,
that's what I mean by storylines. Like, it doesn't have to be something completely made up. Like, here's a guy who's in recovery, his life has changed around. Do something with that. You know, you can do something. I don't know what's going on with 205 Live. Because I only watch Raw and SmackDown, so as far as I know, 205 Live doesn't exist. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's your product. Promote it on your show.
Yeah.
Get people to, you know, and then when these guys are at house shows, people...
Know who they are.
Know who they are.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up. We're going to go to lunch. I'll tell you more about numbers.
Yeah, we'll talk about... Oh, I love all that stuff.
Right, I'll tell you more about numbers.
I hope... You know, here's the weird part about doing these shows. I always forget to be funny on these. I just get so involved in the wrestling. Like, there's nothing worse than a comedian who's serious about something.
You don't have to be. Yeah, listen.
I don't have to be, but it's that's part of what I enjoy doing is entertaining people. But I forget, like, oh, yeah, we're just talking wrestling numbers. But I guess that's what wrestling fans want. It's okay.
All right, guys. Where can people follow you?
You can follow me at Harry Turjanian. That's all my social media, my website, ihatecomedy.com. Check out the Man School 202 podcast. That's sex and relationship advice. It's a great show. It's a funny show and a helpful show as far as dating and sex for men and women. But the big thing is Capital Wrestling. Oh, and I was going to announce we're going to be doing a sort of a pay-per-view thing that we're going to be having July 11th.
Wow.
We're going to be airing on Fight, F-I-T, a special, a very Capital Wrestling special that is involved with the people at Skankfest. So we'll have more info on that, but check that out because that's fascinating. But definitely come out this Monday, June 24th, 8 p.m., St. Patrick's in Bay Ridge. It's a Capital Wrestling taping. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you haven't checked out one of our shows, you're going to love it. We do a lot of storyline stuff, old school sort of way. Nothing too crazy, but we do storylines of the quality of the wrestling I'm proud of. Everything about this company I'm really proud of. And if you're in the New York area and you love wrestling and you're one of those people who bitches about the WWE, come out and check this out. Check it out. It's worth your time. And you can check out all the episodes on all of our social media on YouTube. We're also on Fight, Facebook. It's all over the place.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Give it a shot. You'll really like it if you haven't.
All right, guys.
A lot of talent.
And
now we got Andrew Zarian.
Let's wrap it up. All right, guys. We'll see you all next time. Take care.